Welcome to another episode of Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource. Well, Judy, we've been on the air now for a whole week, as well as having been on LakeLink now for a couple of months. And if you've just discovered our show, we are now broadcasting on 8 stations from northern Illinois to the UP of Michigan, as well as lake-link.com's keyword radio. So there's lots of ways you can catch us. And wherever you're listening, welcome. And we hope you've enjoyed our show so far, and we hope you enjoy today. Judy, we've got a lot of great things lined up for today's show. But before we get into that, what have you been up to?
Well, I've actually been rather busy. Summer is here, and it's a great time to get outdoors. And so first we went to Lake Michigan. I am related to and a member of the old pier rats, I guess you'd call us.
Yeah.
And now I'm bringing up my kids in that fine tradition. So we were fishing the Lake Michigan piers, trying to catch the tail end of the coho, seeing what else is around. The browns are usually in the harbors or near shore quite a bit, almost year-round. They're a little tricky to get, but they're near shore. They tend to be a night bite, but you can try to get them during the day. During the day, I don't know if you've ever seen it, they surface.
Yeah.
They kind of porpoise.
Yeah.
It's like they're laughing at you.
Well, they tease you because you never catch those fish. I used to try them with a fly rod. You'd see them porpoise. You'd try to aim ahead of them, and that fish never showed up again.
Right, right. So there's that going on. You've got some king salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the rocks themselves, you can fly fish for the smaller versions of all those.
Right, right. So how did you fish for these
well,
guys?
We went out with 2/3 ounce little Cleos, white, and that kind of that glow, the glow white and the blue.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right. So we'll light those up at night, but we just went out during the day and we're casting those. Kind of the smaller ones for, you know, trying to see if there's some coho around.
Sure.
You know, you've got to be careful when you're fishing Lake Michigan. You got to look at water temperature. And, of course, if you're fishing the shores, water clarity. And you want to know where the bait fish are because that's where the big fish are. So if you can check the Internet or, you know, go there, sometimes there's harbor cams or things like that. That'll give you a heads up before you pack the family in the car and go up to your favorite pier.
You've got harbor cams that you watch?
Yeah.
That's news to me. Tell me about that.
There's harbor cams. I know there's one in Milwaukee for sure. It's harbor cam, and you get to, it'll pan. So you can say, okay, look north, look south, look whatever, look at the gap, whatever, and it'll tell you a little bit about the turbidity. Because sometimes, you know, the wind direction will be right and the water temperature seems right, but what's that turbidity been for the past 3-4 days? How long did it take to clear up, blah, blah, blah? So there's harbor cams.
Might find Jimmy Hoffa that way.
I don't know, but
so did you catch any fish?
We had two on that got off at the rocks. The guy next to us caught a coho, though, so that was nice to see the kids.
Well, that almost counts.
Yeah, I know. I was disappointed that we didn't come home with something, but that's all right.
Now, you know, pier fishing is so tricky because the wind can be out of the west for 4 or 5 days, and then you got cold water, and then it shifts out of the east, and everything changes.
Right, but sometimes that's really good because if the bait fish are in close, and then you get that wind, well, the bait trap are trapped. They're actually, they can't go out because if they swim out into the open lake, they're going to die. So you'll see these fish that'll cruise that temperature line or mud line, depending, and just pick off fish.
Huh.
So that's one thing. But that's not the only thing I did.
Okay. What else have you been up
to? I've done some more stuff. We took kids out in the canoe again.
Uh-huh.
And this time we went fly fishing for panfish.
Oh, yeah.
So poppers, bluegills on their bed. Might be tailing off here as the water warms up as the season goes on. But that's fun. And you always catch a bass or two.
Sure.
So that's always a little spice.
Is Ryan getting pretty good with the fly rod?
No, he can't fly fish at all.
Oh, so he just watches.
Yeah, well, he'll cast. Actually, he was using a size 00. I call it Fish Dude. It's a MEP spinner with a little fish thing on the end.
A little plastic fish.
Yeah, a little fish imitator. And what's nice about that is the blade doesn't always spin.
Mm.
And that's okay. It still looks like a wounded minnow or something like that. And so for a kid who's not constantly reeling in to keep that blade moving, you have this fish body to attract. And, you know, same thing, consistency. They might reel in really fast and then drop it or stop reeling.
Right.
And reel fast, and, you know. So, again, it works very well for kids.
Yeah, and I think because it doesn't spin, it kind of dodges side to side when it's not spinning. It does look like a minnow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got one of those in the bottom of my tackle box.
I get it out.
Well, I never use it or anything. I used to use those double-aught MEPs for trout in streams. That was my favorite way of fishing. I'd walk upstream in a little stream that I could wade in, you know, with hip boots and toss that little spinner upstream and just keep it moving as it came downstream, ticking the bottom and hitting rocks, and man, it's a killer on browns.
That's deadly.
Well, we've got an exciting show lined up today. We're going to talk with Sarah Fisher of the Minocqua Chamber of Commerce and learn about what's going on up there, some events coming up, and how the fishing has been. And we're also going to talk with Greg Kazmierski, who owns Buck Rub Outfitters in Pewaukee. He's a co-founder of the Wisconsin Deer Hunters Coalition. And last week, if you listened to the show, and of course you can listen to the archives if you didn't catch that show, we talked to Keith Warnke, who is the DNR biologist in charge of deer for the state. And Keith gave us a rundown of the deer hunting season for this coming fall. And Kaz is going to give us a different perspective from the Deer Hunters Coalition. And we will get a fishing report from the East Coast and the West Coast of Wisconsin, the Mississippi River with Jim Lodemeyer of the Alma Fishing Float. And we'll move over to Sheboygan and talk with Captain Roy Kelmerton of Wolfpack Adventures. He's been doing real great. He and his sons, Jared and Patrick, operate Wolfpack Adventures out of Sheboygan Harbor. So we'll talk to them. And, of course, Big Al, the wild food, wild game gourmet, will give us another great recipe. And remember, if you miss part of the show or you want to listen to a past show, you can always catch the current show and any shows that we've already aired by going to lake-link.com, keyword radio. We'll be right back after this. A friend of mine by the name of Michael Hupe is an attorney with the law firm of Hupe and Abraham, with offices in Milwaukee, Madison, and Appleton, Wisconsin. In over 35 years of practice, they have represented tens of thousands of clients and collected hundreds of millions of dollars for them. If you've been injured in a car or motorcycle accident, hire a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. Hire Hupe and Abraham, Hupe.com, or 800-800-5678.
Do you remember waking up early on a spring morning and hearing the whistle of a bobwhite quail in the distance? The people at Quail Unlimited have not forgotten those days. As recently as 1980, there were over 59 million bobwhite quail in the USA. By 1999, those numbers had dropped to lower than 20 million. A large reason for the decline in quail numbers is due to changes in farm practices and loss of habitat buffers. Quail Unlimited is trying to change that. One way they are helping is with the Budweiser and Quail Unlimited Adopt a Covey program. The program is free to landowners willing to create habitat for bobwhite quail. As a participant in the program, Quail Unlimited and Budweiser will provide each landowner with a Got Quail management booklet designed specifically for quail. In addition to the booklet, they'll also provide you with a metal gate sign to show off that you are committed to bringing bobwhite quail back stronger than ever. For more information, please go to Quail Unlimited's website, qu.org, and find out how you can become more involved.
In every successful hunting or fishing outing, the outcome most often depends on being in the right place at the right time. If it's outdoors enthusiasts you're after, become a sponsor of Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent. Your product or service will be exposed to hundreds of thousands of listeners through this weekly radio program and our webcast at lake-link.com. Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent offers you unique target marketing, reaching the outdoors enthusiast at a very affordable price. Contact us today for details and sponsorship package pricing. You can reach our audience with your message for less than you might think. Become an Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent sponsor today. Call us at 414-588-4082. That's 414-588-4082. Or email Dan at dansmalloutdoors.com.
If you've been fishing as long as I have, you'll really appreciate lakelink.com. Log on and you'll get the latest fishing reports from all your favorite lakes. If you're looking to see if the walleye run has started at the pier, now you're only a click away, and it's all for free. If you become a member of LakeLink, you'll get access to a library of topographic maps. On top of that, you'll get free classified ads, fishing reports sent directly to your computer, and discounts to local businesses. Lake-link.com, your online fishing resource.
Well, we're back, and now we're going to get some fishing reports from a couple of different corners of the state. We're going to move around and see what's happening, maybe where you are or where you'd like to be fishing. You know, Judy, the Mississippi River is one of the most popular places to fish in Wisconsin, and, of course, it's a tremendous fishery.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And what they've done, I think it's below pool 6, the different fish rehabilitation work they've put in, of course, the catch and release, the slot sizes, all these things. The walleye fishing is phenomenal. Saugers you can get in the fall. Northern catfish, I mean, you almost have to watch out because you don't know what's going to bite on the other end.
And the backwaters have some of the best panfish and yes. bass action you'll find just about anywhere.
Right. Well, today on the line we have Jim Lodemeyer from the Great Alma Fishing Float up in Alma. Jim, what's the hot bite?
Oh, man, right now we're catching a variety of everything. We're getting saugers. We're picking up occasional walleye, not as many walleyes as we get earlier and later in the season. Panfish are in good. The bass are in heavy. White bass, cat. It's a lot of fun for all ages right now.
I bet it is. Now, what kind of lures are you using?
Not as many lures right now as we use as live bait.
Okay.
Most of them we're dragging minnows or night crawlers, leeches, things like that. There's a few people jigging and doing fair, but live bait seems to be the big.
Okay. Yeah, are you using the 3/4 ounce killer jigs, or what are you using?
We're not using as many of those as we do in the spring. We, earlier time of year, we get more jig fishing like that. Right now, it's river rigs, which is a three-way setup, and also some lighter tackle, like for bluegills and that, we just use a split shot and hook and worm. Pretty simple.
Now, Jim, for folks who don't know where you are, where exactly on the river are you located?
Alma, Wisconsin. It's about an hour north of La Crosse, hour and a half south of the Twin Cities, right on the river.
Uh-huh. And the float is anchored?
Yeah, it's an anchored structure. We can probably hold between 100 and 150 people out there, but pretty rare we get that many.
Uh-huh.
Below the dam.
How do people get to your float?
We have a shuttle boat that holds about 20 people. And we pick you up on the Wisconsin side of the river and shuttle you out to the float.
Yeah, Dan, you got to come on one of these trips. It's great. You raise up this little flag. The boat comes over. They ferry you over. And then once you're there, you have the freedom to get up and walk around. You're not confined to a boat. And then you serve a little food out there, don't you?
Yeah, we have a little cafe and kind of burgers and breakfast. It's pretty popular.
Oh, you got to tell people about the mess.
Okay. It's one of our breakfasts. Meals, it's everything. We just scramble the whole works in one. It's hash browns, eggs, peppers, and you got to throw a little sauerkraut on if you want to make it a real mess.
Okay.
You haven't lived until you've gone to Alma and had the mess.
Oh, that,
exactly.
That sounds like fun. Now, my good friend Kenny Solway is from Alma. Do you know Kenny?
Oh, I know him pretty well,
yes. Does he fish your float?
Yeah, once in a while. He's mostly a canoe guy, though. He likes bombing around in the backwater.
Yep, he's the last river rat. We're going to have him on the show sometime, and I haven't told him that yet, but he'll probably hear this through the grapevine, and he'll wonder when I'm going to call him.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy.
All right, so to wrap it up, what's hitting exactly? You got bass, walleye. Run down that list again.
Well, this morning we've gotten saugers, walleyes today, northerns, bass, bluegills, crappies, perch, catfish. Nobody's fishing for them today, but they already caught a couple. So it's such a big variety right now. It's almost everything the river produces is up by the dam right now in some number or other.
Well, it must be summer then.
Yeah,
it is. It's summer fishing.
That's great. You kind of feel like Huck Finn out there on your float, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, listen, have you got a website, Jim?
It's almafishingfloat.com.
Easy. Almafishingfloat.com.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us today, and we'll be calling you again.
All right, you're welcome. Have a good day.
You bet, you too.
Jim really loves the river, and he loves the float. In fact, if you want to find out what the bite is or anything, have any questions about the float, you can call Jim on his cell phone, 651-380-7296, and he'll really like that.
Yeah, he sure will. He's a great guy. And, you know, speaking of great guys, I've got another guy on the line here, on the other side of the state, Roy Calmerton of Wolfpack Adventures. Roy, how are you?
Fine, Dan. Yourself?
Pretty good. And I got Judy on the line here, too.
Hi, hello. Judy.
Hi.
So, Roy, you operate out of Sheboygan, right? The harbor of Sheboygan.
Harbor of Sheboygan, Port of Sheboygan, on the sunny shores of Lake Michigan over here, you bet.
Right, and how's the fishing been?
It's been a super June. You know, into May, super May going into June here. We've had the king action already. We've had catches of 12 to 14 kings, and a lot of them are right in the harbor mouth. We're really glad to see that bait fish come back in. We've got just stacks of bait fish in the first 30 feet. And then when that bite goes down, we're trolling way out and getting out to 140 to 180 feet of water, and we're getting some kings and cohos out there.
Now, I heard that those kings are heavier than they were a year ago. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yes, and they're wider, Judy. Good point. They're very nice kings. We've got up into the 20-pounders already. Not a whole lot of that yet. I mean, it's real early just to have our kings this close this time of the season. But they're there, and the early bite in the morning is the best. The afternoon has been kind of slow, and the evenings, and that's when we're going out further and finding them out in that deeper water.
How are you catching them?
Trolling with some big spoons, big daddy spoons are coming on real good, and we're using some J-plugs early right now in the gap.
No kidding.
And believe it or not, they're eating them.
Wow.
They're having a good time on them.
What else you got going on, Roy?
Well, the panfish are in spawning on our inland lakes. We've had a couple groups up there over the Memorial Day, and we've got a couple more coming in now. Crappies are going on Big Elkhart and Crystal Lake, and the muskie action has been, they were sight fishing them earlier. You know, they were kind of a late spawn here, and they're just coming off of that, so they're getting some action on muskies on Big Elkhart as well as Random Lake, throwing some surface baits there or some daddies on the bottom,
uh-huh.
Or down a little deeper.
Okay.
You got anything going on for kids?
Oh, yeah, we've got lots going on. We've got a coho derby coming up on June 24th for kids only. The Wharf Bait and Tackle down on the riverfront there is sponsoring that, and it's free for the kids. There's going to be door prizes, lunch, and, of course, again, hosted by the Wharf. I've got a contact number, Judy, even.
Sure, give it to us.
Call in at. Mm-hmm. It would be area code 920-458 4406, and that would talk to Grace down there, and she would be able to line you up. It's going to be some pier fishing, and the kids are going to work out of that. And then we've also got two Lake Michigan fishing camps going, one out of Camp Anakiji and one going out of Camp Wycota YMCA camp, that are going to be week-long camps, and then they're going to climax with a fishing trip on Lake Michigan.
Oh, wow. Well, that certainly is the future of fishing, is in our kids. So that's great. There's a lot going on.
Oh, definitely. You bet.
Now, Roy, I understand you also put some golf and fishing packages together.
Yes, we have. We've teamed up with the Bull over there in the Sheboygan Falls area.
Oh, yeah, I played the Bull. It's a tough course.
Oh, it's a beautiful, brand-new course. You're well aware of it then. And what we've got is a package that you can golf in the afternoon, come in and golf in the afternoon, and stay at the sleep-in, or we have Harborside Villas down on the sunny shores of Lake Michigan that will be open the first part of July, with bigger accommodations, two or four bedrooms, and then charter with us next morning on the Wolfpack out on Lake Michigan.
All right. Well, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to doing that with you, to playing around the golf and the fishing with you guys this year.
Hope to have you over soon.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Well, listen, Roy, thanks a lot. We'll be in touch with you again for another report in the weeks ahead. And I want to give people your website. It's wolfpackadventures.com. Is that right?
Correct.
And to contact them by phone, you can call 920-918-WOLF. All right. Thanks a lot, Roy.
Sounds real good, Dan. Have a nice week.
You too.
Me too.
See you,
bye-bye.
Judy.
Bye.
This next segment is brought to you by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. Okay, we're back. And, you know, last week, Judy, we had Keith Warnke on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith is the Department of Natural Resources biologist in charge of big game. And we talked about bears and and elk and deer, but primarily the new rules for the upcoming deer season. And Keith gave us the lowdown on that. And I know a lot of people are still confused.
Oh, yeah. I'm confused about the confusion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think part of the confusion is because this whole process has been going on for so long, and there have been so many proposals for lengthening the deer season, or changing the number of antlerless deer, or the way you can shoot antlerless deer, and how much the permits cost and all that. At any rate, to try to add a little clarity, a little more clarity, if not more confusion, to this whole debate, we thought we'd invite another guest on this week. And we have on the line Greg Kazmierski, who is known as Kaz. Kaz, welcome.
Well, thank you, Dan and Judy. Thank you for asking me on.
Well, we're glad to have a chance to talk to you. And Kaz is the owner of Buck Rub Outfitters in Pewaukee. And he's also well known as the co-founder of the Wisconsin Deer Hunters Coalition, one of the major players in developing the deer rules as we know them. Kaz, can you give us a little history on the coalition, first of all? What are you all about?
Sure, Dan. In 2000, a number of concerned hunters got together and realized that the average guy out there in the trenches really didn't have much of a voice relative to our deer season. And so we knew we couldn't develop a full-blown membership organization in a short period of time to affect some of these rules. So what we decided to do was build a group that would build coalitions of other groups and give people the facts and the information about the deer and the deer harvest and the deer seasons. And so we put that together and started out in 2001 with a petition to end zone tea hunts. Then we had a postcard mailing that went to Governor McCallum. And there's been enough discontent about the zone tea hunts and earn a buck over the years that finally we, after the 04 season, were able to get the Conservation Congress on board, and hence the question number 44, which came up with an alternative to October hunts and earn a buck. Prior to that happening in 05, what we did do is we finally had enough credibility that we did hold the first ad hoc committee meeting in Wausau of all the deer hunting groups in the state. And that included Wisconsin Bow Hunters and Quality Deer Management and Wisconsin Buck and Bear Club and the Muzzleloaders Association and Outfitters, and kind of locked ourselves in a room and came up with some proposals that was on everybody's wish list that we all thought would be workable and still able to manage the deer herd without stepping on each other's toes. And that really, I believe, was the catalyst that kind of moved hunters together on the same page to push the department into taking a serious look at a deer rule.
Now, of course, the department believes that they are basing their proposed rules on sound biology. Where do you come from that perspective, if you have a different suggestion than what they recommend?
Well, deer hunting is a combination of biology and the social consequences. Frankly, there's very little biology involved when it comes to deer management. It's more social than it is biological. And so that's why, you know, it doesn't do any good if you don't have a buy-in from the hunters. And, you know, when bow hunters are upset or muzzleloaders are upset, and the scary trend that's happened as of late is we've lost 60,000 hunters in the last 4 years. So it's pretty hard to kill deer when your hunters are frustrated and looking at a 72-page regulation to go deer hunting, and they just say, heck with it. There's a lot of fence sitters and don't care for that type of regulation. So there needs to be a balance of both the biology and the social side of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I understand that you were opposed to some aspects of the new rules as they've come out, but there were some things that you liked about them, I guess.
That's correct. Probably the best thing that was involved in that deer rule was that it gets rid of the hunter's choice system. And that was a system that really never worked really well, and I can relate it back to traditionally the bow hunting license was an either sex license for years and years. Well, typically what a bow hunter would do is hold out and hold out and hold out for his buck. Then if he didn't kill his buck, then there'd be a mad scramble and he'd try and shoot a doe. Well, that's what Hunter's Choice did. Instead of giving a deer hunter an additional doe tag with Hunter's Choice, the same thing would occur, and then they may not have got another opportunity to shoot a doe. So I think it was time for that to go, and I'm glad that that's definitely gone. And, of course, it does end the October hunt temporarily, and we know that the October hunt has been controversial for a long time, not just from the bow hunting community, but gun hunters have also figured out that what that October hunt did was allow hunters that normally would hunt on their private land to go to the public land in October and decimate the deer herds on the public land and the accessible land, and then they can spend opening day on their private sanctuary. So that was the biggest problem that I think gun hunters and bow hunters recognize about the October hunts.
So those problems are now taken care of in the new rules, but what don't you like about the new rules?
Well, first of all, what we were hoping is that we'd find a long-term fix. I mean, hunters are tired of the rules changing every year, and we don't believe this rule has a long-term fix. It's got built-in sunset triggers and expires in 2 years, so we're going to have to go back to the drawing board at the end of this thing. But our biggest opposition to it was that it didn't contain every tool that we know is workable to end zone and earn a buck. And what I mean by that is, in 2000, the department issued two antlerless tags to every person that purchased a license, and those antlerless tags could be used in the Zone T units. And we set an all-time record harvest of 600,000 deer and haven't ever even come close to that again. And it was simply by giving hunters the two tags. And most of those deer, believe it or not, were shot during the regular 9-day gun season as a result of those extra tags. So our argument was that it was a tool, it has a history that it worked, and it should have been included in this rule, and it was not included.
But I would think that there's always going to have to be changes because the deer population is going to fluctuate. So I would hazard a guess that there isn't one overall fix that's going to work forever.
I would agree with that. But a lot of what we're dealing with here is more of a social thing, that we have a huge deer problem. And it's also hard to make up for the harvest that those 60,000 hunters that we lost would incur on an annual basis, which would be about 40,000 deer with our current success ratio. So that's where the balancing act comes in.
Should the social change happen in that people should be encouraged to shoot does? Is there some machismo here, maybe, that the bigger the buck, the better the hunter, and maybe if we change that aspect of the social hunting, we'd have better results? What do you think?
Actually, I disagree. I think just the opposite. I think what drives hunters to the woods is that chance of possibly killing that trophy buck. And what needs to be done is we need to educate hunters on some of the quality deer management type fundamentals, which is shoot a doe and let a buck grow. So
okay,
if we were doing that and people understood that we can harvest does and still have quality buck hunting in the state, I think that would be a big improvement.
All right. Well, Greg, listen, we're out of time on this segment. I appreciate your taking the time to talk to us today. And folks can learn more about your organization by going to your website. It's WDHC.net. Is that right?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Kaz.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
That segment was brought to you by Hupie and Abraham. a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements.
At Gander Mountain Kenosha, we realize one of the keys to finding the perfect Father's Day gift is to listen to the experts. And in our store, you'll find tons of experts. You see, lots of the people at Gander Mountain Kenosha are dads themselves, have one, or are married to one. It also helps that we are all outdoors people who can help you find that perfect gift. We have great brands like Rapala, Garmin, Guide Series, and more. If you can't decide, you can get him a Gander Mountain gift card and let him pick out that perfect gift himself. Stop into the mother of all Father's Day stores, Gander Mountain Kenosha. And we're back. And there's a lot of fun stuff happening on the northwest corner of the state, up in the Monocacy Eagle River area.
Well, there sure
that's
is.
That's the northeast corner.
Well, you
what
know,
am I
it,
saying?
It's the north corner. It's a big corner up there.
And the snow has finally melted, I'm sure. But I haven't been up there in a long time.
Well, you and I actually met last August at a conference in Eagle River at Trees for Tomorrow, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard about. It's a conservation camp, I guess you'd call it, that's been in existence for many, many years. And that's where the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators meet.
Right, and that was the last time I was up there, and we got to go out muskie fishing. I went out with guide Roger Sabota and his boat, and we had a fantastic time. We had two or three follows, and we had one that we boated, and it was really exciting.
Yeah, Roger's a good guide. I fish with him quite frequently when I get up there, but he wanted to take you out and just see what kind of a stick you were, as they say.
Well, I have trouble casting some of those. They have the big, thick rods. And the is it fire line, the real thick line, the 100-pound test?
No, I'm not sure what kind of line he... No, he uses Power Pro.
There
Power
you go.
Pro, yeah.
And so getting those big, long baits, they're 12 inches long sometimes, and you get those and cast them. And I was really trying to throw it, so I was trying to whip it and use my arm. And he's like, no, just relax, kind of lob it. And then it went much further, and I did a lot better.
What you've got to learn when you're musky fishing is not to overdo it in the first half hour. And to let the rod do the work. Now, Roger uses St. Croix, and he uses longer rods, so you can really load those rods up and lob that bait out there. And, and if you cast right, you should be able to cast all day.
Well, that's what I had to learn. So, and I know muskie season's open now, and they're catching them on smaller baits, the crankbaits, jerkbaits, maybe 6 inches or less. So those are a lot easier for me to cast. And I'm also not a big fan of the metal steel leaders.
Well, early in the season, smaller baits are the rule because the muskies are kind of waking up. Steel leaders, well, some folks use a heavy monofilament, like a 100-pound Mason hardline or Andy mono,
okay.
And that takes the place of the steel leader.
Well, just it seems like I'm casting. I have such long terminal tackle, I guess you'd call it, you know, because you've got your 6-inch bait, and then if you've got a 12-inch leader, you know, and then your line. It's like, wow, I'm really chucking a lot out there.
Yeah, yeah, you got to get the dynamics, the physics of it down. But it's a lot of fun once you get it once you get in tune with it. You know, the last time I was up in the Minocqua area, I think was for the World Muskie Hunt, and that's held every year on the Minocqua chain of lakes. And I was a competitor a few years ago. You can only do it once as a competitor, and then you're invited back as a past hunter. They call them hunters, not fishers, because you hunt muskies, you don't fish for them. And that's an event that's held late August every year, and I may get back up there this summer.
You hunt for them? Because isn't there a Muskie Hunter magazine?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you hunt for them? Do you know?
Well, how many do you catch in a day?
Oh, okay, I suppose. It does take a... Yeah, that's another reason I haven't always gotten into muskie. I mean, part of it is the size of the lure, but part of it is it's a lot of grueling hours.
Yeah, well, you should try fly fishing for muskies, because I know you love fly fishing.
I do.
And I love fly fishing, and I love muskie fishing, but I don't like the fishing and not catching something.
Uh-huh.
So I figure if I'm not going to catch a fish, I might as well have fun not catching a fish, and that's why I got into fly fishing.
Well, speaking of fun and fishing, we need to talk to our guest here today. We've invited Sarah Fisher from the Minocqua Chamber of Commerce. And, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Now, you have an event coming up here in June. What is it?
Yes, we have it's our 7th annual Fishing Fun Fest, and we always hold it on Father's Day weekend. But that doesn't mean that it's just for fathers with their children. It's a whole family event. Fishing Fun Fest for the family, and it's really a lot of fun.
What goes on?
Well, what we do is we kick it off on June 16th, which is a Friday night, and we kick it off with the rules meeting and whatnot, and then fishing is all day Saturday and Sunday up until 1 o'clock. And what it is it's just being able to see the smiles on the little kids' faces and everything like that, and get them out there, get them to learn a little bit about what the different fish types are and things like that. We have a kids' casting contest that we do Saturday afternoon. But the big part of it is that all participants are eligible to win the grand prize, which is a fishing boat, motor, and trailer that we purchased through Minocqua Yamaha here. And you don't even have to catch a fish. That's the best part about this tournament.
So you enter, and it's a drawing then?
Yep, it's a drawing. As long as you abide by the rules by checking in and out properly both days, anyone can win that boat.
Wow.
Last year we had a 9-year-old win the boat. So it's always a lot of fun to see little kids winning the boat, adults winning the boat. The year before that we had an adult win the boat, and she was ecstatic. Her whole family was.
Did that 9-year-old keep the boat? Did mom and dad keep it, or did they sell it for the kids' college education?
Nope, they kept it, and I bet you anything they'll be back fishing in it this year.
I would, sure.
Yeah, and that's always neat to see the boats coming back, you know, and we really encourage them to hold on to the boat and come back every Father's Day weekend to Minocqua to fish in the Family Fun Fest.
Now, where do they fish? Which lakes?
The whole chain of lakes. So they can go on Minocqua, Kawagasaga.
Spell that, would you please? No, I'm just kidding.
Tomahawk, Baker, and Mid, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Kawagasaga is a great muskie. Actually, they're all good muskie lakes.
Yeah.
I fished all the major lakes anyway, Tomahawk and Kawagasaga and Minocqua, and seen fish on all of them, haven't caught fish on all of them.
Well, you'll have to come up and try it again.
I'm going to have to try it again. Now, how do people register? I assume they have to sign in somewhere?
Yep. Well, actually, if you go to our website, which is minocqua.org, we do have registration forms that you can print off from there. And it's just a small entry fee, $20 for adults, $10 for youth 17 and under. And you can just mail that back in. Or if you want to wait until you get up here on that Friday, we are accepting registrations right up until Saturday morning. So it's always a lot of fun in the Minocqua Arborvitae Woodruff area for this weekend.
Now, are there different divisions, either by age or by type of fish?
Both. We have by age and by type of fish. Adults are only allowed to register muskie and walleye.
Okay.
And the youth, 8 to 17, are fishing for muskie, pike, walleye, bluegill, sunfish, perch, and crappie. And we open up everything to youngsters under 7, and especially they like to go for the big crappie, the bluegill, the sunfish, the perch.
Sure. So if I don't catch any fish, I still get entered into that boat drawing. But let's say I catch the biggest muskie all weekend. Now what?
Well, we definitely have a prize for that, too.
I'd hope so, yeah.
And for the biggest muskie, we have a great muskie rod and reel, the same going all the way down the categories. We have rods and reels. We have different things, lures, tackle boxes, fun things like that for the kids.
Great. Have you got maps or guides or something to help people who are new to the area find where they should fish?
Certainly. We do have everyone who fishes in the tournament gets a welcome bag, and there's a few little goodies in there, and one of the big goodies is a map lake of all the different lakes that they can fish and how to get around and where, for instance, restaurants are on the chain and things like that if they need to get something to eat, anything like that.
Now, do you have a catch-and-release division? Because I would imagine all these people catching fish might have an impact on the local lakes.
This whole tournament is catch and release.
Okay.
Which is very important to us, you know, because we like to keep the water stocked with fish.
Oh, yeah.
So if I catch a fish and release it, how do you know that I caught that fish then?
You have to register it, and we have different boat marshals out on
okay.
the lakes.
Okay.
We have 6 different boats out on all the lakes, and then we have separate registration stations also that they can bring the fish to, and it's all done by link. So we just measure the fish, and most of them release them right there on the spot.
Okay, great. So if someone is coming up just in time to register Friday, where do they go to register?
Sure. On Friday, all the registration is being done at Raleigh and Helen's Muskie Shop, which is on Highway 51 South.
Everybody knows where that is. Sure,
yeah.
Raleigh and Helen's, yep.
Yep. So registration's going to be taking place there on Friday. And then on Saturday, if you want to be an early registrant on Saturday, you can head on over to Bosaki's Boathouse. And they are our headquarters for this tournament. And so you can head on over there Saturday morning, and we'll get you all set up.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you very much for the information, Sarah. And we hope that a lot of folks come up there for that event this coming up on Father's Day weekend. And remember, folks, if you go to the website, Minocqua has a C in it, minocqua.org. Thanks a lot, Sarah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be right back after this. If you've been fishing as long as I have, you'll really appreciate lakelink.com. Log on and you'll get the latest fishing reports from all your favorite lakes. If you're looking to see if the walleye run has started at the pier, now you're only a click away, and it's all for free. If you become a member of LakeLink, you'll get access to a library of topographic maps. On top of that, you'll get free classified ads, fishing reports sent directly to your computer, and discounts to local businesses. Lake-link.com, your online fishing resource.
In every successful hunting or fishing outing, the outcome most often depends on being in the right place at the right time. If it's outdoors enthusiasts you're after, become a sponsor of Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent. Your product or service will be exposed to hundreds of thousands of listeners through this weekly radio program and our webcast at lake-link.com. Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent offers you unique target marketing, reaching the outdoors enthusiast at a very affordable price. Contact us today for details and sponsorship package pricing. You can reach our audience with your message for less than you might think. Become an Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent sponsor today. Call us at 414-588-4082. That's 414-588-4082. Or email Dan at dansmalloutdoors.com. Hi, Billy Bob Small here for Filet King, the only modular filleting system for all your fish cleaning needs. Sure, I release most of the fish I catch, just like my cousin Dan does, but I take some home for the table now and then, too. And nothing makes faster, neater work at cleaning fish than Filet King. Filet King's removable grate holds fish in place without a clamp, and the tray catches all the mess. Now, you can fillet fish on the kitchen table, if Ellie Mae lets you do that, or the countertop. Cleanup is easy, and Filet King is made of polystyrene, so it's dishwasher and wife safe. Invented by the Johnson brothers of Polk County, Wisconsin, Filet King can handle any fish you'll catch, from bluegills and perch to big pike and salmon. Filet King is available at all Gander Mountain stores or on the web at filetking.com or dansmalloutdoors.com. Save time and do a better job with Filet King, the only modular fish cleaning system. A friend of mine by the name of Michael Hupe is an attorney with the law firm of Hupe and Abraham, with offices in Milwaukee, Madison, and Appleton, Wisconsin. In over 35 years of practice, they have represented tens of thousands of clients and collected hundreds of millions of dollars for them. If you've been injured in a car or motorcycle accident, hire a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. Hire Hupe and Abraham, Hupe.com, or 800-800-5678.
Well, we're back, and joining us again is Big Al for his easy cooking segment. It's Big Al the Wild Gourmet. Hi, Al.
Well, hi, Judy. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Great, Al. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you.
What do you got for us today?
Well, you know, turkey season's ending up now, Dan, and we're going to do some of our wild turkey eggs benedict.
Ooh, a little breakfast.
Yeah, a little breakfast to kick off your day.
Okay, well, what do you need to get started?
Well, the first thing you want to do is take your turkey breast and cut out strips or segments about a quarter inch thick. And what you want to do is dip those in an egg wash.
What's an egg wash?
You take an egg, you scramble it up, and dip your turkey breast right into it.
Ah, okay, so it's just a scrambled egg.
Yeah, basically a scrambled egg.
Okay.
And then you want to take Italian breadcrumbs and push them on real hard on both sides. And when that's done, you set that in the refrigerator on a plate, let it cool so your breading sticks.
Okay.
Now, while that's cooling, Dan, you want to take and fry up some bacon, 10, 12 pieces. You know, I'm going to take a whole pound of bacon, fry it up. But the important thing is to save that bacon grease. And you want to take and get the bacon nice and crisp, put it aside, take your turkey breasts and fry them right in that bacon grease. Sounds unhealthy, but it's awesome. You'll love it.
Oh, it sounds delicious. I love frying stuff in bacon grease.
You bet. And then take it and get it good and crunchy, plate it up. And what I do, Dan and Judy, is I go to the store for my hollandaise sauce. I buy a good packaged hollandaise sauce, like a De Kuyper's. You know, put it, mix it up, make the hollandaise sauce to the package ingredients, toast a couple English muffins, lay them on a plate, put your poached egg. And the thing is, folks, when you're poaching eggs, you want to take the egg, the water, bring it to a boil, put in about a teaspoon of vinegar in the water. And the reason for that is it'll keep your eggs together while they're boiling.
Huh, I didn't know that.
While you're poaching them.
Okay.
So then you pull your eggs out of the boiling water, drain them a few seconds, put them on the English muffin, put your turkey slice down, and then take a little of that extra bacon, put across the top, and then cover it in a hollandaise sauce and serve it up with some, you know, fried potatoes or hash browns, something like that, and garnish it with some parsley, or if you want to use salsa on there, you can make it a little Mexican style, throw some salsa on the side, and garnish it with some cilantro.
All right. Well, great, Al. Thanks a lot. We're out of time for today, so we'll be talking to you again next week.
Wonderful. And I'll get everything put together for you so you have it for the web.
All right. Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Big Al is always cooking up something good for us. I tell you, that sounds like a great way to get rid of some of that leftover turkey.
Leftover turkey. I wish I had some leftover turkey.
Just a little bit. Anything you fry in bacon is good with me.
Absolutely. Well, now that you've found us on your dial, let us know what you think of the show. You can contact us at lake-link.com, keyword radio. Send us an email, or you can get Big Al's recipe right there. Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent is brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource. Music by Warren Nelson. This is a production of Dan Small Outdoors, LLC. Copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.
When the cool night swallows the moose's nose and the heron is fishing on one cold leg, when the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you. Full perch on whiskey gets lonesome.